that, you know, Friday. Hurdles and home runs, busted pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci.
Hey,
Jacob, chairman of the boards, and me, Dr. Tim Slecker. We are here. Oh, yeah. It is another awesome Friday. Special, you know, our return guest. Whenever we need truly the depth of understanding when it comes to anything Wisconsin sports, but this whole business of name, image, likeness, and how it affects high school athletes going forward. Big meeting. Johnny, you and I tried our best to kind of make sense of it with Jacob and how that goes. In fact, Jacob, what did you say? You know, if it was a Jimmy's Chicken Shack? Or
it was Al's Orange Chicken is going to be sending big checks out to high school athletes, and that was my concern. So hopefully Jimmy can assuage those fears.
So, yeah, that's it. So, Jimmy, you know, we're talking about this name, image, and likeness. And I, you know, just to remind people again, my kind of back on this was just like I couldn't believe, and this is probably almost a year ago when you brought this up, that this was an issue that high schools were wrestling with this. And, you know, first thought my mind was, you know, so high school kids are being put on Wheaties boxes and stuff like that. It's not really at that level, but Jimmy, help us understand big meeting rules, what's going on. So, you know, whether it's Jimmy's Chicken Shack or Jacob again, who's the other chicken place there?
Tim, that would be Big Al's Orange Chicken.
Big Al's Orange Chicken. Or maybe Tesla. What's the deal? What do high schools got to do? What are students doing? What about coaches? Help us make sense of the rules because, you know, if I get a smart, really awesome athlete that I see around at high school here, tell me why I shouldn't transfer them to Wisconsin, take on a manager position of this student and try to cash in myself as a manager over a student athlete. Jimmy.
So I think I'll just start with this because you've asked a lot of questions in that.
I know.
I'm going to try to narrow it down to the fact that, you know, first of all, just about every state now has NIL. Wisconsin was one of nine that didn't have an NIL clause in their state guidelines, whether it was done by their state athletic association or in a couple of states done by their state legislatures, which, as we all know, when the state legislature is involved in high school athletics, it doesn't end well. It just does not end well. You know, the athletic associations, the schools themselves like to have some ability to control what's happening within their rules. And I know here in Wisconsin, there are always bills that are going up every single year that are trying to find ways to, you know, kind of rein in the control, the WIAA, which, it, by the way, in Wisconsin, the WIAA is the member schools. It's not some monolith. It's the member schools make up the WIAA. So there's always rules this year. They're the big one that's up in the legislature. This is a good topic for another day, but they're trying to make the WIAA meeting subject to open records and open meetings laws in Wisconsin, like a public entity. So there's a lot of things happening in Wisconsin besides that, but when the legislature's involved, doesn't typically end well. So Wisconsin became, I believe, the 42nd state by my math. The NFHS has a different number. A couple other people reporting on it have different numbers, but I'm going to go with 42nd state to have NIL. And so what does it mean? Well, first of all, it's not like the college rules. Right? We're not handing out contracts to kids. We're not signing them up to collectives through the schools, things like that. We're not doing that in Wisconsin or pretty much any other high school organization in the United States. No high school association is doing this. Furthermore, in Wisconsin, it is more restrictive than the college rules and also more restrictive than other high school associations. I think the biggest one that is the kind of the limiting factor in this is that a student athlete becomes ineligible if they are entering into NIL deals with, first of all, with any, if there's a coach or a staff member acting as an agent, that makes you ineligible. You're not allowed to, as a coach, recruit or pitch kids to NIL or become an agent yourself. You can't be an agent if you're a coach or a staff member at a school. Second of all, if you're someone who's donated to a booster club, to the athletics department, to a team or anything within that district during the time that student athlete has been WIAA eligible, for example, being in high school for the 4 years, at any point, you're not allowed to contribute to an NIL contract for that student athlete. So if you think of small town Wisconsin, right, you think of the rural schools that make up, you know, about 70% of the districts in the state, right? You think about that. And, you know, typically in those districts, you've got really a core handful of businesses in town that contribute directly to athletics. So they might be putting up $100 to help buy mouth guards. They might be putting up $500 to help, pay for a score, whatever it is, right? You're donating to a booster club, to the school directly. Maybe you're donating, your car dealership, and you're donating a stack of books to the library. Whatever it is, you can't enter into an NIL deal with a student athlete in that high school while they're in high school, or they become ineligible. It is very restrictive. And this is the one I think that is going to receive the most attention, this specific part of the rule, because how terrible would it be to be a local business and all of a sudden, you know, you're just trying to help a student athlete, you know, get their name out there a little bit, try to get them a little notoriety, right? And then all of a sudden, you know, because you donated something 3 years ago when they were a freshman, now as a senior, you have them in an NIL deal, you make them ineligible. How terrible would that be, right? Man. So the WIAA stance on this is, once this rule becomes effective with the WIAA bulletin at the end of May, I think May 26 or 27 is the target date for that. When that bulletin goes out, that rule is now in place along with the three other ones that passed at the annual meeting last month. So when that rule becomes effective, the WIAA is leaving it to the schools to educate their community members on the do's and don'ts with it. And one great thing that the WIAA has already provided on their website is a whole list of FAQs, potential case studies, things like that. Like, what if this happened? Is this eligibility? Is this not eligibility? There's a very, very, very long list of potential issues that they've taken from other states, and they've got a lot of data to use, and they've put it all in the one spot now with this rule. It is a very complicated issue because of the fact that the WIAA has thrown up so many guardrails to keep this thing kind of on track. However, it does not preclude someone, say a large business that hasn't donated to the school before, from offering NIL deals. And I know this is getting very long-winded at this point. I do want to mention, though, quickly that the other part of this, too, is that there are some guidelines in place for what can actually be in an NIL deal. The student athlete can use their name, image, or likeness, but they can't show their association to their school, to the school sport team, to the conference, or to the WIAA. So you can't just have a kid in your town go up and say, I'm the quarterback for this high school here, come buy whatever it is I'm selling. You can't do that. You can't associate with your high school team, your high school, any of that. So there are some guardrails up for this. It's a lot different than college. And I think that's going to be the part that the WIAA and all 421 school districts in the state of Wisconsin are really going to have to educate their community members about.
Man, Johnny, help me out here.
No, I love that. I think we did pretty good, Tim. I mean, yeah. Listening back to Jimmy's, summary of this. I'm going to ask the question here, Jimmy. As a coach, when we talk about, these are essential curriculars and that they don't exist without coaches, and coaches are a form of democracy in action. I mean, it's like doing civic duty and, we love the sport and, we love, what it does for the community in terms of these young athletes, having a well-rounded education. It's a big part of their lives and what they love. And, that keeps them not only in school, but learning life lessons that they apply. But like this coach advisory committee that WIAA listens to, and consults with, is a form of democracy. I just wondering, as a coach, Jimmy, how do you feel about NIL? And like, what do you think in general? I'm reading that coaches seem to be like, hey, that these new rulings on it are going to help programs. They're going to be, helpful in our state. So, here we have a coach, Coach K with us here. Tell us a little bit, as a coach, that civic duty that coaches are participating in. And then, how do you feel about this?
Two parts for me. First of all, if it's good for the kids, it's good for the kids. And I work as a school board member as well. Whatever, I will always vote in favor of what's best for kids. If I've ever stuck on a decision, I'm like, hey, is this good for kids? That's all I ask myself. And if the answer is yes, then it doesn't matter if I feel one way, for, you know, on it or whatever. If it's good for the kids, I'm going to go for it. If it makes sense, if it's sort of financially responsible, sometimes it's not. Sometimes I'm just like, yeah, I think the kids definitely need bounce house Fridays. You know, we just put up bounce houses and we just don't have classes that day. I'm all for it. No, I'm kidding. I'm always going to be in favor of what's good for kids. And I think in Wisconsin, the other part of this, I think in Wisconsin, this affects such a small group of student athletes. The truly elite student athletes, the ones that are training for the Olympics, the ones that are going to be going, they're 4 or 5-star recruits for whatever sport they're in. They're either already in some form of travel ball, they're out of state already, or if they really need it, they're going to transfer out of state to a state, you know, to somewhere like Florida, IMG Academy. They're going to go out east, they're going to go south, they're going to go to California. They're going to go find this elite prep school, and that's how they're going to build themselves up to become a professional athlete, right? That's the truly elite. We're talking 10, 20 top kids a year. They're already just leaving the state and doing things. I can only speak to this from personal experience. We had an SEC recruit at my very tiny high school here in southwestern Wisconsin. She's playing at Mississippi State right now, and she played travel softball all over the country, and she was one of the top 100 recruits in the nation, right? So obviously a very elite athlete, but you know, she stayed in high school here in a very small town, to the family's credit, with NIL. I don't know that it would have really change anything. Every single business in this town already donates to the school, so here it wouldn't have mattered so much. But I will say that this rule, that the NIL rule, is really only for the truly elite of student athletes in Wisconsin. We're talking less than 1% of kids that are actually going to have some kind of NIL deal. What you're going to see a lot of it is going to be is that you're going to put some kids on a poster, right? They can't associate by school. They can't associate by conference or any of that stuff, but you're going to see some skills posters go up that are run by clubs, things like that, that don't have a school mentioned in them at all. And you're going to see some of these kids' faces on posters and, you know, come to the skills camp and learn how to throw a football. We'll learn how to, you know, shoot the double, come to this wrestling clinic for youth. That's what it's going to be for the vast majority of NIL cases, right? That's really where I see it going. I think when people are talking about somebody rolling up in a brand new car, you know, things like that, getting a restaurant chain endorsement, that kind of stuff, the things you think about, like with the college student athletes, right, that's just not going to happen to the degree people think it will. It's going to be a handful, probably, you know. If I'm going by the WIA data, they're expecting this to be fewer than 100 student athletes. They released data ahead of the first time that this went through, saying that of all their ineligibility cases, if they had NIL in place at the time of the ruling, I think they said in the year before the 2024 vote, it was 16 student athletes in the whole state, 16 that would have been eligible under what is now going to be the NIL rule. We're talking about a very small handful of student athletes. So I think that this ruling, as much attention as it's going to get, I think the greater impact of it is really just going to be for students and for community members to be a little more creative in helping market those students into opportunities, you know, putting their face on the counter at a restaurant or a grocery store or something, things like that. I don't think that with all these guardrails in place that you're going to see someone on a billboard, you know, the whole, you know, John Elway with the arm back kind of thing, you know, the Heisman pose. You're just not going to see a lot of that. This is really truly for the very elite. And as a coach, I'm all for kids finding their way and finding ways to make the most out of what they're doing.
So, I mean, yeah, it's so much there, Jimmy, like you're so well versed in this. I mean, tell me about like how is there a place that if I'm interested, just go back to my kind of, you know, sarcastic going like, hey, I'm going to find a student outside the state. I'm going to bring them in. I'm going to be their manager. Everything you've told me is that actually sounds legal to do something like that. What are there guardrails? Have people brought up scenarios like that? I mean, and then if I want to find out the rules, how do I learn about them?
So the scenario you're laying out, as long as you're not already donating to the school, you're fine to try to enter into an NIL deal. If you're not coaching that student, you're not a staff member,
right?
As long as you're not violating the rules they've laid out, you're fine to do it. Like, that's the thing. I think doing something with the obvious intent of recruiting, there's other guardrails for transfer students. Obviously, you have to sit out a year if you transfer, without like your family specifically relocating, right? So, you know, there's already rules in place for transfer students. Open enrollment's a thing in Wisconsin, right? There's open enrollment's always been here. You know, but there's, you know, there's rules in place to prevent kind of that player movement. I think this was a big concern, and you're right to bring this up. This was a big concern brought up by coaches and by parents, right? That, you know, well, this is going to just increase player movement. Well, there's already things in place to kind of limit that. If your family's not uprooting, completely relocating during your high school years, you know, you're going to have to sit out a year of varsity action. So that's, there's already a rule in place that exists for that. However, it doesn't stop families from being creative and just renting an apartment or whatever it is. Although with rent prices now, if you're renting an apartment these days at $2,000 a month or whatever it is for rent, you're really, really, really invested in in high school athletics, I guess, at that point. But to your point about education, like I said, the WIAA is really leaving this up to schools to educate their communities or coaches, their student athletes on. Like I said, on the WIAA's website with regards to eligibility, on their student eligibility page, they have a long FAQ and they list a lot of different examples to help people kind of work their way through it. I do know from talking to them, I asked them from a media perspective, some of the executive board, if they could provide some guidance to media, because we create advertising, and if we get approached by somebody saying, hey, we'd like to use you know, the star pitcher from the baseball team, we want to use them in this ad for this car dealership. You know, the car dealership's not donating any money to the school. They're not in the booster club. There's no coaches or staff members at this car dealership, right? Everything is good. And they put them in the game. They don't violate any of the rules. Everything is good. Up until the point I said, what would happen then if after the commercial, the announcer turns around and says, oh, by the way, you know, Bob there, he's on the mound here for the third inning. You know, it's great to see he's supporting local business. I'm like, is that a violation? Like, are we as a radio station then, if we broadcast this game, are we risking the eligibility of a student athlete? So these are some of the examples I brought up, and they turned me back to not only the FAQ, but also turned me to, you need to work with your school districts you're partnering with on these broadcasts to make sure you're following it, with the added little pinch at the end. We just hope that radio stations wouldn't do something like that.
Johnny, you got a question there in the chat.
Well, Jimmy, you know, we were doing a little digging around last week when we were talking about NIL, and we thought, you know, if we had so many questions about it, that certainly, you know, players out there, athletes, families, you know, folks just with general curiosities might want to know more, especially these young folks. Like we said, if it's good for the youth, we love, you know, seeing these changes. But it sounds like it's, you know, district to district, you know, kind of going to differ a little bit. And athletes may have questions about it. And I read that the WIAA had partnered, you know, with a Milwaukee-based company, Influential Athlete. Do you know anything about that? Or would you recommend people with more questions go that direction? I mean, I was like, wow, this is great. Sounds like there's a resource where people listening who have questions, like, oh, my son, you know, is a pitcher, and thinking about, you know, wait, is this possibly for me? How do families navigate that?
So this partnership, they entered into this between the two votes. They did this towards the end of last year, and they did this because, yes, there is a need for education, but there's also a need, you know, really for there to be some kind of model to follow. You need experts in any subject, and especially something like this, you need to have a resource. This is a company that has already provided materials to membership in the WIAA and reviewing everything for this annual meeting vote that happened last month. They're there really as a resource, and they're there to help basically steer student athletes towards, you know, towards the right use without risking their eligibility to enter into NIL deals, and to help them set them up for post-high school NIL as well. A lot of colleges, even small colleges, are offering it. Division III colleges offer NIL, and it's much different than the high school level. This company is a lot of already pretty well-known people in the Milwaukee area. I believe there's a couple of former broadcasters even part of it. So there's already, you know, and some coaches too, some well-known coaches are part of it. So it's one of those things where we all knew this was coming. This was kind of an inevitability. It's a big word for me. It was really hard to get out. This is something that everybody saw kind of happening, and the WIAA was smart in getting out in front of a potential yes vote this year and just having this as a resource for people. I think like everything we talk about on this show, whether it's NIL or anything else impacting high school student athletes, students in general, you want to have the best resources, the best education on these topics, right? And this is a company that has been there pretty much every step of the way, even before they officially partnered, creating materials, showing student athletes what you can and can't do, and showing a way forward for people who are trying to find ways like, hey, you know, I never thought about NIL. I'm in a small town. But maybe it's something we can do here, right? And we all want to do what's best for kids. Give them these opportunities to be able to grow themselves, not only as a student, not only as an athlete, but also to kind of grow themselves as becoming, you know, going from being a teenager to young adult. You want to be able to speak to yourself clearly, represent things in a responsible and positive manner. That's where I really see NIL shining in high school, is that this is something that can teach you the importance of a personal, and when I say personal brand, I mean, you know, not having things up on social media that can get you in trouble, right? Not having, you know, having the support of people, working with people in a business setting, something that you're going to have to do as an adult. You're going to have to go buy a car someday. You're going to have to, you know, sit down and negotiate pay raise, things like that, right? These are all skills you develop. So I look at this partnership a little differently maybe than others. I see this more as a resource, as a way for students, parents, community members, schools themselves, to really learn and grow, especially in the context of what, as we've talked about here for the last 20 minutes, is a very, very loaded subject with a lot of questions in it.
Yeah, it is. It's so much there. But Jimmy, like always, though, having you on the show here to join us on Fridays for, you know, now Hurdles and Home Runs, there's a clarity, I think, that comes across it. That's why we, you know, really appreciate you stopping by, you know, and as we say, busting some pencils with us. So, Jimmy, man, thanks a lot for hanging out. And make sure everybody, if you're listening too, follow Jimmy through all the civic media places. Jimmy, it sounds like they're putting you to a little bit more extra work these days, you were talking about.
Civic media keeps me busy. It's fun. If I didn't have something to do, it would be a really boring day. I love it when I'm busy. I thrive when it's busy, especially during sports season. If I have all this free time, I don't feel like I'm at my best. So I really enjoy all the work that I get to do here. And as you said, if you need to learn more about it, there's plenty of recaps up on civicmedia.us. And you can reference these podcasts. We've talked about this several times here on Busted Pencils.
Absolutely. And now it's time for your moment of zen. What most of us must be involved in is to educate a new generation to do this very modest thing: change the world.
Hey, thanks for listening to Hurdles and Home Runs with special guest from Civic Media, Jimmy K. And if you want to grab more Busted Pencils podcasts, just go to Apple, Spotify, or you can always get at us at thecivicmedia.com. That's our website. Or find us at bustedpencils.com. And you can always get great Busted Pencils content like today's show on Mondays for homerooms, Wednesdays for class and session, and of course, Pencil Busters. You can always tune in and listen to the Busted Pencils broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media networks on Saturdays for an hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.